Brennan, before I begin, I'm going to give a little bit of maybe an apology. I don't know exactly how to express it. One of my personal interests, one of the studies I love so much, is astronomy and cosmology. That is going to bleed through a lot in our presentation today. So I thank you for indulging me as the discourse has overtones of a devotional service as well as a regular discourse. But I've got really two parts of considering. Well, let's put it up. Here's our theme text. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? So we're really going to break our talk into two parts. We're going to talk about the moon and the stars, the immensity of God's creation. One of my objectives is to knock your socks off when you see what God has created out there and what wonders await mankind and us in the eons in the future. And the second part of it, just as David had a second part, he looked up, and we're going to say a lot more about that, but he says, you know, why is God interested in us? God is interested in you. And that will be the second part of our talk as well. When you read the eighth Psalm, you cannot help but feel David's awe of the Creator. He didn't have cosmology and astronomy as we have today, or the sciences, but he could look up into the skies and realize his smallness. We can envision him at night. Remember, he was a shepherd. So probably as a very young man, maybe even a young boy, he was out in the fields shepherding. And you can imagine him looking up at the stars at night and just thinking, what's it all about? This God has made this clearly something much, much larger than me, and yet he's interested in us. The vastness of God's creation flabbergasted him. And as I say, he didn't have the science that we have today that manifests even more wonders out there. The science of astronomy has progressed unimaginably far than David could have imagined. I mean, not only do we have telescopes on Earth, and they develop what's called radio telescopes. And by the way, why is a radio telescope better than an optical telescope? It can see through things that optical light can't see through. You know, gas and whatnot, they can aim this radio telescope and see what's beyond there, whereas it's in the way if you're looking at it. But we've since set up satellites that are able to look at the heavens with no atmosphere impeding at all. And what we see is truly extraordinary. As I mentioned, I have two objectives. The first part of it is I want to knock your socks off. I want you to love Jehovah God and see him as a God of immeasurable glory and beauty and power and plans for us. So let's start looking at some stars here. I'm going to just go through several very interesting pictures here of stars. When you look up at night, what do you see? You say, well, David, I'm seeing stars and planets, you know, a moon, an asteroid, comet from time to time, meteors every night. We see all these things. But, you know, when you look up at the stars, you're seeing one little tiny neighborhood of stars. All the stars that you see is just one little portion of the galaxy we live in. And there's another thing, too, that's very interesting. When you look up at the stars, you're looking back in time. We'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. Here's a rendition of what an artist thinks that the Milky Way galaxy looks like. You notice our location. We're not in the middle. We're out on one of the arms. Now, this is very fortuitous. God did not choose the location of where the Earth would be haphazardly. There was a reason for it. If we were too close to the center, there would be a lot of gas and whatnot in the way. There's also a lot more radiation. There's a lot more novas and supernovas that could possibly be harmful to us. So he put us out in a portion of the galaxy which is safe. But secondly, if we were in the middle of the galaxy there, or very close in, you would not be able to see outward. It's like if you had a house and, you know, it's at the top of a mountain and there's this beautiful surroundings, but you got trees all around. You can't see them. Where God chose to put us in the galaxy, at the outside, allows us to see outside the galaxy. Now, it's only been in the past 100 years or so that scientists have come to realize that we live in a galaxy and there's many, many more galaxies out there. We're going to show you a lot of them. But if we were so close to the center, we could never know that. The telescopes wouldn't be able to see it. So God placed us at a point where we can actually see something about this immensity of God's creation here. Now, how many stars in our galaxy? Well, the lower number is 100 billion. The larger number is 400 billion. That's a lot of stars. What's the current population of the Earth? Is it 9 billion? Something like that, 8 or 9 billion? So imagine that even at the lower, for every person on the face of the Earth, there's 10 stars in our galaxy, our local galaxy. Unbelievable. That's a huge number. Now, here's something very interesting. As large a number as it is, God has a name for everyone. Look at this scripture here, Isaiah 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out the host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, because he is strong in power, not one is missing. You know, we name a lot of the stars. You'll see some of the names of the stars as we go on. God has a name for every one of those 100 to 400 billion stars. This is not the only place where he tells us that, too. Here's another scripture in Psalm 147, 4. He determines the number of the stars and gives all of them their names. You know, God is a very careful account keeper of everything that he does, and he knows what he has. Calling them all by name is just really astonishing. Let's move on. We mentioned that when you look at the stars, you are looking into the past. Here's some scientific facts for you. Light travels at 186,273 miles per second, give or take a few percent. It is the one constant in the universe. No matter where you go in the universe, if you measure the speed of light, it is the same, a wonderful constant. So in 1 year, light travels 5.88 trillion miles. Now, again, these numbers are so large, you know, all we can do is maybe make some comparisons. That's a huge amount. But this distance has a designation. It's called a light year. When you hear terms that this star is this many light years away or this many light years away, that is the distance of one light year, 5.8 billion billion, the time it takes light to travel a distance in 1 year. Here's something that you probably see when you go out at night. In fact, in the wintertime here, the constellation Orion in the northern hemisphere, you can see at night. You know, I always know that the winter's coming on, it's going to get cold when I see the three stars, the belt of Orion. Right? Wasn't there even a pop song, the belt of Orion? Somebody sang it. Well, some of these stars here you may, or at least names of stars you may recognize. Let's take Sirius here. Sirius is 8.6 light years away. Now, when you see Sirius tonight, you go out and look at it. Well, it's raining, so you won't. But when you see Sirius and you go out, you are seeing it as it looked 8.6 years ago. Remember, it's taken the light 8.6 light years, 8.6 years to get here. So you're seeing the star as it looked almost 10 years ago. How about this one up here, Betelgeuse? It's 500 light years away. Guess what? When you look at it, you're seeing as it looked 500 years ago. You're looking into the past. Rigel, 850 light years, almost 1,000 light years. You are seeing and looking in the past. That's really astonishing when you think. We think, well, time is the same everywhere. Well, Einstein showed that it's not the same everywhere. That's a whole another talk. Now, these stars here, Sirius, Rigel, Betelgeuse, they're stars that are bigger than our sun. Now, how big is our sun? It's about 1 million miles in diameter, and we're 93 million miles from it. But I'm going to show you a video now. I'm going to provide a little commentary, because you think the sun, wow, what a big star that is. It's almost nothing on the scale of size that stars can take. Watch this. roughly the size of the Earth. Serious in robots. This last star, UY Scuti, I don't know where that name came from. This is, in our galaxy, the largest known star that we have yet discovered and seen. 2.5 billion miles. And you probably can't read it at the top of kilometers. It gives miles there. It looks like 1.5 billion miles in diameter. This star is so big that if you placed it where the sun is, the orbit of Jupiter would be inside the star. God creates these things. The enormity of some of these creations in cosmology. This is the work of God's fingers. Brother Harry Wobbler, he says fingertip work. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Now, up to this point, in this little video on the size of stars, these are all stars that are just within our galaxy. Their size is huge. We already saw the distances between them is huge. The Milky Way galaxy is about 100,000 light years in diameter. Which means if you turned a flashlight over here at the north side of the galaxy, it'd be 100,000 years before you'd see it on the other side. Let's talk about galaxies now. We want to get outside our galaxy and see some of the immensity of what God has created. So here's another video. We're going to travel from the Earth out of our solar system, out of our galaxy. We're all going to go all the way to getting a illustration of the large scale structure of the universe. I want to pause here. What you're seeing now in this video, every other thing there is not a star. It is another galaxy. Stars are far too small to see from this perspective. These are galaxies. Another nearby galaxy. All of them. It's billions of them. We're going to move out and see a picture of the large-scale structure of the universe. See all these filaments and whatnot? This obviously is an artist's rendering. Every one of those filaments are galaxies. Galaxies that weave and wind through the interstellar medium. And when I was talking to Brother Richard, see this little area here looks like a dark area? Those are voids between galaxies, between the filaments of galaxies. Voids unimaginably large where there's nothing. Wow. You've probably heard of the Hubble telescope. This was a classic photo that I think they took 50 days to make. Every night they would focus on an area of the sky. By the way, you know how small the area of the sky is that they focused on? If you take your forefinger and thumb and put the four fingers together, you see that little thing? Now hold it out at arm's length. That's what you're seeing there. And you can see right away, there's thousands of these little, and that's it. All galaxies. Unbelievable. More recently, another telescope was launched called the James Webb Telescope that has capabilities that are superior even to the Hubble. Here's another picture, this one from the James Webb Telescope. Galaxies. Here's one more picture. I wanted to pull this up. I just stuck this in my presentation this morning. It came out of some discussions that we were having last night. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, he that created the heavens and stretcheth them forth. I stop right there. When Kathy and I were driving this morning, I said, what do you think about that word stretch? It's the perfect word to describe the interstellar space of the universe. Now, you all heard of the Big Bang, right? Big Bang is a wonderful confirmation that God started this world and this cosmos had a beginning. The Big Bang says it started in an infinitesimally small particle, whatever, and grew and grew and grew to be the size of the universe we see now. In the 1930s, they were taking pictures, newly discovered galaxies, taking pictures of these. And they noticed that the galaxies were moving away from us. If you've ever heard the term redshift, it is a measure of how quickly the galaxies are moving away from us. And they found, to their surprise, that the further away a galaxy is, the faster it is receding from us. And they said, what is this? How can we explain this? And this theory developed out of the Big Bang theory, the expansion of the universe theory, that space is actually expanding and growing. The universe is getting larger and larger since the Big Bang almost 14 billion years ago. And all of a sudden, this scripture here, he created the heavens and stretched them forth. Just like you stretch something to give it a little more area, the expansion is God's stretching of the universe. He obviously has great things in mind for us and for mankind and whatever intelligent creatures that are to be created in the future. This universe will be for them. Again, notice the word stretched. A couple more items here. This galaxy here is of particular interest. It is an elliptical galaxy. It has a number. And this is the largest galaxy that so far has been discovered. 50 times larger than the Milky Way. Remember I said the Milky Way was 100,000 light years? Well, multiply that by 50. That's how big this elliptical galaxy. How many stars are in it? Over 100 trillion stars. 5.5 million light years from one side to the other. Brethren, our God What a God we have. What a creator. Here's something else interesting, colliding galaxies. Now, when two cars collide, it's not a good scene, is it? When galaxies collide, guess what? Stars don't collide with one another. The distances between the stars are so wide that when galaxies collide, it's like two clouds of gas coming together, and they unfold. Here's a picture of one. Interestingly enough, this galaxy, which is about a million light years from us, is called the Andromeda Galaxy. It's the only galaxy you can see with the naked eye. You can see it out there. But guess what? That galaxy is coming for us. It is coming, and it is going to collide with our Milky Way galaxy sometime in the future. Here's a little illustration of it. I'm going to show you a video. I found this video, I think, on AccuWeather or Weather Channel. But I want you to imagine, you know, you look out in the stars tonight and see the stars. Imagine in the next billion years, 2 billion years, 3 billion years, mankind who is on Earth watching this galaxy get closer and closer. And people will have everlasting life, so 2-3 billion years is nothing. But they'll watch it get closer and closer. Here's a video that describes that. Merged galaxies will be like that elliptical galaxy that we saw. They've even named it. Talk about anticipation. Not Milky Way, not Andromeda, Milcomeda. Maybe Jehovah God will have a different name for it by then. Let's go back to our text. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him and that you care for him, the son of man that you care for him? This God that has created things that are just incredible, and we're just touching the surface. And by the way, you can go in the other direction. We went in the direction of largeness, immensity. What do you find when you go in the direction of smallness? Tininess, littleness, you find God's hand there too. Whole nother presentation. But it's just exciting to see on the microscopic scale, on the atomic scale, what God has done. What a great God we have. You are mindful of him. You care for him. Let's now focus on God's mindfulness of us and our care of us. How deep is God's care and mindfulness to you? We're going to look at several scriptures here. Number one, God loves you. We listened this morning to Brother Nathan. He talked about God's love. The creator of this immense universe, this complex universe, this universe full of light and energy and mysteries we haven't even touched. That great God loves you. John 16, verse 27, Jesus assures us, "For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came from God." Jesus told us that God loves you. Now, there's a little proviso here, isn't there, right? Because ye have loved me. You know, what is Jesus saying is that, and he's talking to his disciples there who all loved him. If we love Jesus, if we esteem Jesus as our Lord, our Master, our Redeemer, our King, our Bridegroom, we love him intensely. There's no question that Jehovah God loves us as well. Number two, God adopted us into his family. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Having foreordained us unto the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, which he has freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. Notice that. Adoptions as sons. We have been brought into the divine family. Now, I showed you some amazing things from physical creation. I wish I could show you some things of heaven, but we don't know that yet. But Brother Fry gave me a really nice principle. If you think the earth and the universe is wonderful with its mountains and its valleys and its flowers, the beautiful fragrances, the rolling streams, all these beautiful things that inspire us, he says, do you think that's better than heaven? Obviously, no. All of those beautiful things that we see on earth are surpassed by things in heaven. I'd ask Brother Fry, I said, Brother Fry, are there mountains in heaven? He said, yeah, of course there is. And that's the principle he used. Now, what does a spiritual mountain look like? What does a spiritual tulip look like? I have no idea. But he said, all the things we see on earth are but a pale reflection of the heavenly. It's going to be much better. We will be impressed beyond words. So we have this adoption of sons. We're part of God's family. This is how God cares for us, and God is interested in us. Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. That he might redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption as son of sons. And because ye are sons of God, sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. As many brethren in talking about this expression, Abba, Father, have indicated, this is like daddy. I almost feel a little uncomfortable calling this great God who created these things daddy, but he is. He is our heavenly Father. He considers us his children. And we ought to develop that sense of affection, that sense of intimacy with the Father. He wants it. And the more of that we get, the more faithful we will be, the more obedient we will be, and the better we will let our light shine for the help of others. Number 3, God's care and mindfulness. God answers your prayers. Matthew 7:7. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Brethren, I've always pointed out that ask, seek, and not A-S-K, ask, kind of wrapped into that acronym. A little bit further down in the same chapter, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Brethren, don't be afraid to ask our daddy, our God, our heavenly Father. Don't be afraid to ask him for things. He wants us to ask for things. Of course, you have to ask for the right things. You know, we've often said that our Heavenly Father answers every prayer. The answer is yes, no, or wait. If he has promised something, we have a precious promise and we've got a book full of them. If he's promised, the answer will always be yes. We should have the faith that when we ask something of the Father that he promised, now start looking for it. Anticipate the delivery of that promise. God will never fail. He will never disappoint you. You know, sometimes we ask for things that aren't promised. Here we have to be careful. James talks about asking amiss. But you know, when we see our loved ones in pain, and certainly it's an experience that all of us have seen, is it wrong to say, Heavenly Father, can you reduce the pain? It's not wrong to ask that as long as we add, not as I will, but as thy will. Sometime God wants us to bear the pain, and it's incongruous to say, Lord, take the pain away. He says, no, I want that pain there because it's edifying. I want that difficult experience because it's a chastisement, it's discipline. So even as Jesus did, he asked for the cup to be set aside, but he says, not as I will, as thy will. So don't be afraid to ask the Heavenly Father for something good, but it's not promised. But always append, not as I will, but as thy will. And it builds faith. When we ask for something and God gives us, you know, many of the brethren, they call that a kiss from the Lord. We get these kisses frequently. But Brother Fry always used to say, are you watching for it? Or did you miss it? Keep our spiritual eyes open, our eyes of faith. Number 4, God trains and disciplines us. This is part of God's care and mindfulness. Brethren, we are called. Called to what? We are sanctified. Sanctified for what? And we are called and sanctified for the job that we will have with Jesus in fixing the world. Back to tikkun olam again. That's the short-term objective of our call. And through the end of the 1,000 years, we will be working with mankind, the ancient worthies, in developing in mankind a love of this wonderful God that we see and serve now, our Heavenly Father, Jehovah. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Brethren, when we have chastening experiences, don't get discouraged. See it as an example of God's care for you, God's mindfulness for you, God's love of you, his interest in preparing for you the job that you're going to do beyond the veil. John 14:3. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus and Jehovah are preparing a place for us. You know, I've often imagined that when we get beyond the veil and we say to our Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do? And he gives us a dossier, right? Bear with me on this, right? We open it up. Here's our assignment, and we read it. Oh, I know how to do this. In fact, I know exactly how to do this. That's the training that you're going through now. It is preparing for you that individual job that God has in mind. You remember the stones of Solomon's temple. They were all chiseled and shaped and made ready off site. When they came, there was a perfect place for them. They fit perfectly. It's the same way with all of us as well. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your anxiety on him, for he careth for you. Never forget that. This God that has created a universe which is just unbelievably fantastic, he cares for you. I'm going to read a poem as we draw to our conclusion. How strong and sweet my father's care. By the way, that's my daughter and my grandson, Jonah, who's 10 years old now. So, how strong and sweet my father's care, the words like music in the air. Come answering to my whispered prayer, he cares for you. The thought, great wonder with it brings, my cares are all such little things. But to this truth my glad faith clings, he cares for me. Yea, keep me ever in thy love, dear Father, watching from above, and let me still thy mercy prove and care for me. The thought, great wonder with it brings, my cares are all such little things, but to this truth my glad faith clings, he cares for me. Oh, still in summer's golden glow or winter's storm of wind and snow, love me, my Father, let me know thy care for me. And I will learn to cast the care which like a heavy load I bear down at thy feet in lowly prayer and trust in thee. For naught can hurt me, shade or shine, nor evil thing touch me nor mine, since thou with tenderness divine doth care for me. Brethren, in our time we've taken you from the moon. Remember in our theme text, the moon and the stars, we've taken from the moon. And we've gone out to the furthest galaxies. What a God we have. I want to close with one more psalm, and then we're going to sing together a hymn. Praise ye Jehovah. Praise ye Jehovah from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise ye all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Jehovah, for he commanded, and they were created. Brethren, we're going to close with a hymn now, endless song. And some of you here in Milwaukee may recognize the singers. We're all going to sing along with us, with the singers here. But